This is Pastor Steve trying to go live on Facebook from the church office. I think this might be recording, I hope. And we're meeting in this format because, as you know, during this COVID-19 crisis, the authorities are encouraging us not to continue meeting in a group setting for a time, to give our medical personnel a chance to get ahead of this virus a bit and not to be overwhelmed. So this is our first remote message during this challenging moment. And I'm not going to be preaching from behind a pulpit, but I'm sitting here in my office at the Booth Bay Baptist Church looking to share with you from the scriptures and hopefully to bring some encouragement as well. I decided for this week to step away from the series I've been preaching on Sunday mornings in 1 Thessalonians. God willing, I'll get back to that next week. But at least for this week, I decided to turn to a passage that I did recently preach on, but in another church when I was on vacation visiting our daughter down in New Jersey. I had the opportunity to go across the river and preach at a church. And the telephone is ringing. Hopefully I can expect Marianne to pick that up for me upstairs. Sorry about that interruption. Okay, so the passage that I'm going to be preaching on or teaching on for a few minutes this morning is Psalm 3. And I'd like to look at that together. I've given a title to this study called Crisis, Christ, and Confidence. I'm borrowing that from a posting that came from Westminster Seminary. You can look at that on my Facebook page by that same title, Crisis, Christ, and Confidence, because I think it states well the reality of our situation and the situation that we're living in. The Psalms are the prayers of Israel in the face of the challenges of living in a fallen world. The consequences of the fall are all around us, and more as I hear news reports and I see people sick and suffering, when I see the challenges of life and the hardships that people face, I'm reminded this is why Jesus came. He came because God created a good world, and that good world was disrupted by human sin. But he came to lay down his life so that sinners could be reconciled to God, and so that we could have peace with God. I'm going to pause just for a moment because someone's coming down. And
it's not live.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to click end live video. Then it's telling me that it's live. Who is that calling?
Sam.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to continue with the video. I'm going to try to, at the same time as I'm speaking for the video, other recording formats that I'm doing. I'll hit live video again. Okay. Go live. Okay, hopefully the Facebook video will pick up. If not, I can share later this recording that I'm making on the other desktop to the live video on Facebook. Not sure exactly what's going on with all of this, but in any case, back to Psalm 3. Psalm 3 addresses the question of how to find confidence in God in the midst of a life-shaking, faith-testing crisis. And are we there yet? I think we are. This psalm will show us that abundant life doesn't mean life without problems. Rather, it is life that rises above the chaos and finds hope. Because of our position in Christ, because of the promise of victory in Jesus, we can stand firm through it all. Psalm 3 is the first psalm with a heading. Let me read the psalm and then pray, and we'll take it from there. Psalm 3 begins, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that you know each of us and the situations and the trials and the challenges that we face. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would take this word and personalize it and apply it in our hearts and lives. Meet us at the point of our need. Might these distractions, the phone ringing, people knocking, people coming in, may it not distract from what you would do. Might we be teachable, Lord, and be encouraged through your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It begins a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. That heading is giving us the setting that's described in 2 Samuel 15, 13 through 16. The story there is that Absalom, David's son, had begun winning the hearts of the people over to himself, looking for an opportunity to seize power and to put himself as king over the nation. Word got back to David what Absalom was doing, and David and a handful of loyal followers were forced to flee from the city, from Jerusalem. It seemed as though God's promises were failing, that David's own son, whom he loved, had turned against him. This was the son that David loved so much that when David later was put to death, when Absalom was put to death, David wept over him. Absalom, my son, would that I had died instead of you. David wished he could have died instead of Absalom. He loved him that much. This son was leading the nation against him. David's life was in crisis. As we watch the news reports, whether it's storms like the tornadoes that devastated Tennessee or the wildfires that struck some time ago in California, or this virus that's sweeping across our nation and around our planet, we see Christians suffering as well as unbelievers. Believers are not exempt from the trials and the pains of this life. What do we do when the bottom drops out? How do we respond? Well, we should be taking the prescribed precautions, but our trust is in God. And David's an example of a biblical character who experienced blessings, but also trials and heart-wrenching pain. David's writing Psalm 3 in that kind of a setting, in a setting of crisis. It seemed as though his life was falling apart, and he cries out to God in the middle of that crisis. And that's the main idea I want to focus on in this psalm. That when trials come, don't despair. Rather, look to the Lord, remember his faithfulness, trust in his goodness. We'll see that David looks up to God. He looks back and remembers his faithfulness. And then he looks ahead with hope. First, we see that David looks up. He starts off, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. David could perhaps imagine what his enemies were saying. Maybe the reports had gotten to his ears. Where is your God now? Let's understand that David struggled against physical enemies. His own son was leading an insurrection. Our enemy is not people. Our enemy is not a nation. It's not a race. It's not a political party. Our enemy is spiritual, and that enemy is Satan. He's going about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He would want us to lose hope. He would want us to be fearful, to be hateful, to doubt God's goodness, to question God's word. Well, what do we do in the midst of crisis? We should look up. We should look up to the Lord. We should pray. We should turn to Him in prayer. We look to God. That's what David does at the start of Psalm 3. He cries out to the Lord, "But you, O Lord, O Lord, many are my foes." He cries out to God and expresses his heart. He expresses his pain and his questions and the situation that he's facing. But he's praying to a God that he knows. You notice that word Lord in your English Bible, it's written in all capital letters. That's telling us this is the name Yahweh, the covenant name of God. He uses that name 6 times in these 8 verses. One other time in parallel, he says, "My God." So we could say 7 times in 8 verses. He is talking to the God that he knows, the God with whom he has a relationship. That's the name that God himself used back in Exodus chapter 3 when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush, when he revealed to himself to him, "I am the great I am. I am that I am." And he's the God who led the Israelites out of Egypt. He's the God who preserved them in the wilderness. He's the God that brought them under Joshua into the promised land and delivered them from the powerful peoples that lived in the land. He is the God who keeps his promise and who is faithful to his people. He's the God that we pray to. Psalm 121 starts off, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." But when crises come, and they will, believers can look up. Believers can know that God is there, that he never changes, that he's faithful. My help comes from the Lord, the Creator. The Creator who loved us so much that he spared not his Son, but he sent him into this sin-cursed world. He delivered him up, the scripture tells us, for us all. He gave the Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. He's the God that we pray to, that we look to, that we cry out to from our heart. When trials come, don't despair. Rather, look to the Lord. Remember his faithfulness, trust in his goodness. We look up, and then we can look back and remember all that he's done. "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me." It's a great contrast in this verse. "But you, O Lord," again, it's that covenant name of God that David is using to address them. "But you, O Lord," this is what my enemies are saying. This is what my situation looks like to me at this moment in this crisis. We can look out in the world and we can hear the news reports and we can be fearful, or we can look to the Lord and then and pray to him, talk to him. "You, O Lord," and David says, "are a shield about me." This is the God whom David knows, the God with whom he has a history. And he can look back in his own life and he can remember how God has been with him in times past. He can remember how God had protected him from the giant Goliath. "You, O Lord, are my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head." What a thing that was for David as a shepherd boy, not an experienced soldier by any means, to take a sling and to go against the giant that brought terror into the hearts of his brothers and of the army, even the king, Saul. But David knew that the battle is the Lord's. He knew that God was bigger than anything that he faced. And whatever the giants are that we face in our life, we can know, as David knew, that he is our shield, he's our glory, that God is in control, and we can trust him no matter what it is that we're facing. Paul said it in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He said, if God is for us, who can stand against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? David could remember how God had delivered him in the past, and already that's beginning to build courage, I think, and confidence and hope in David's words as he prays. He said, with my voice, I call to the Lord, and he answered me. David knew the reality of answered prayers. Now, in the Hebrew text, the connection between those verbs is emphatic. The verbs actually come together. With my voice to the Lord, I call and he answers me from his holy hill. I call and he answers. You can't miss that connection as you read it. David knew that God heard and answered his prayers. And I'll ask you that question today. Have you experienced answered prayers in the past? Well, as we're crying out to God in this situation, those past answers to prayer can encourage us. God is God. He's bigger than anything we face, and we can trust him. With my voice to the Lord, I call, and he answers me from his holy hill. Think about that phrase, from his holy hill. David wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in the city that God had chosen, the place where his name would dwell. David was in the wilderness. He was essentially running for his life, and he knew that God still heard him. It wasn't only in the city. It wasn't only as he was in that place, the mountain of God. He knew, even in the wilderness, even in the desert, that God heard his prayers. And we can know that too. We can know that. It's not only when we're on a spiritual mountaintop, when we're blessed, when we're at a praise conference, when we're in church with people and we can sense the presence of the Lord. But whatever the situation is that we're facing in life, in the deepest valleys of life, God is there and he's good and we can trust him. And so David could say, I lay down and sleep. I awake, for the Lord sustains me. Even in this crisis, David wasn't losing sleep. He wasn't afraid. He knew that even when he was most vulnerable, God would protect him. Now, kings, of course, were considered to be mighty men of war. They were powerful soldiers. And yet, even a king, even a powerful soldier, when he was sleeping, would be completely vulnerable. The one illustration of that comes to mind quickly is when Sisera is fleeing for his life in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 4, verses 15-21. He flees to the tent of Jael. You remember that? He's exhausted and tired from the battle, and she gives him some milk to drink and hides him underneath a blanket. And he quickly falls asleep in his exhaustion. And as he lay there, this man of war, this general, this woman, Jael, comes up to him and puts a tent peg against his temple and drives it into the ground with a hammer. Even a warrior was in defense. He could not defend himself. He was asleep. He was completely vulnerable. You remember when David, along with Abishai, I think it was, went into the camp of Saul at night as Saul and his men were sleeping. Saul was pursuing David, trying to put him to death. And Abishai and David were able to walk right up to him. And Saul's own spear was in the ground there next to him. And Abishai said, please, let me take the spear and drive it through him. I won't have to hit him twice. He was completely vulnerable. He could have ended Saul's pursuit of David quickly and once and for all, but David forbid it. He would not allow Abishai to raise his hand, nor would he raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. And so he did not seize that opportunity. But the king was vulnerable. we're completely vulnerable when we're sleeping. And David says, I lay down and sleep. I awake for the Lord. Again, that name, Yahweh, the God of the covenant. The God who acts in history for the good of his people, who promises to be present. The Lord sustains me. Remember the story of the little girl who, in the midst of a terrible storm, came into her mother's room at night and said, Mommy, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go to sleep. The storm is scary. And she said, don't worry, honey. God is awake. He'll take care of you. And the daughter looked at her and said, are you sure God's awake? And the mother said, yes, God's awake. And she said, well, I guess I can go to sleep then. There's no sense both of us staying up. God's awake. And he's watching over us. He never sleeps. He's faithful. So when trials come, we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be overwhelmed with fear. Because God is there. We shouldn't despair. We look to him. We pray to him. We remember his faithfulness. And we trust in his goodness. And that's where David goes in verses 6 through 8. He's looking up to the Lord. He's looking back and remembering God's faithfulness. And now he looks ahead. And we see a change in his perspective immediately. He says in verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. That sudden change of attitude. What had really changed? What was really different? David was still in the wilderness. He was still running for his life, as far as we know. But he knew that God was there. And he knew that he could trust him. David's perspective had changed. The crisis hadn't gone away, but David knew that he could trust God. It reminded me of that story of Elisha and his servant. When the servant looks out and sees the house of Elisha surrounded by the enemy, and Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6 prays to God, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And we read in there that the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of the horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. If God is for us, who can stand against us? A little perspective helps. Here, as David prays, we could paraphrase verse 7. What he's really saying is there, save me, Lord, for you're the God who saves. He prays to the God who delivered him in the past to save him in the present crisis. That's the big picture. God's in control. We have more information than David. Jesus wins. Salvation belongs to the Lord, he says. Your blessing be upon your people. Jesus took the curse. He drank the cup of wrath against sin so that we could drink the cup of blessing. And because of that, because he so loved us, that when trials come, we don't need to despair. We can look to the Lord. We can remember his faithfulness. And we can trust in his goodness. He is your sure hope, if you know him. The COVID-19 situation has brought tension and uncertainty into our lives. Some of you may be facing other crises as well. Be assured that God is good. He's present, and he still loves you. God's not surprised by anything that we face. This pandemic did not surprise him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to express our confusion and our pain. That's how the lament psalms typically start. David expressing what he feels, what he sees, what's happening around him. But then as we remember who God is and what he's done for us, we can trust him in the midst of it. And we can even grow in our faith through it. It's a chance to show our faith by our works as we also show the love of Christ to the people around us, to our neighbors. It might be that you know of a need, an elderly person who could use someone to shop for them, someone who might need medicine picked up at the pharmacy. But whatever the need might be, we as God's people can be available, and we can do it in the name of Jesus. God never changes. He's faithful. He's there. We can trust Him. We live as pilgrims in a fallen world, and we don't know what tomorrow may bring. Things may get worse before they get better. But God is still on the throne, and He's bigger than any virus. He is with us. And we know the end of the story. Jesus wins. And because that's true, we can be assured that the best is yet to come. Lord bless you. And may His peace rest upon you during this time. Let me read a scripture to you as I close from 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal life and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work in word. And then a couple of verses down in chapter 3, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Let me pray before I go off the air. Dear God, we thank You that You're with us. Though we're separated by some miles, whoever is listening to this, we know, Lord, that You are present. May our trust, may our hearts rest in You. With thanksgiving, we pray, and confidence in and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. Amen.